Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and is also on the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank Dylan and Kyle once and always for having me on board that network. It is a great pleasure, and I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Kind of a, I don't know, another gray sky with a little sun poking out. Sounds familiar. It's becoming a Thursday thing. I don't know, but the Wild playoff picture looks a little bit better, I'd have to say. The trade deadline happened. I did not do a trade deadline special on Saturday night. It was close. I mean, there was a number of trades, but none of them was like a huge, huge thing necessarily, even though at least one of the players, I'm a little sad to see him go, and wishing him the best and see how things turn out with him. We'll talk about that individual in a moment. Well, they get at least one prospect coming back, mostly minor league trades, though, generally speaking, and draft picks in the acquisitions. So we'll get to that. That's kind of going to be, in a lot of ways, the main theme of the show. But other than that, the main, you know, the other main thing is the Wild have been playing a heck of a lot better, going with a pretty surprising 3-1 this past week. Not bad, eh? And we even beat the Nashville Predators. So, all right. And took care of Arizona twice. Of course, we didn't beat Colorado, but that was pretty close. We even got a point out of it. So, what was it? What were we talking? 7 out of 8 points? Well, we could have used that earlier in the year. And we'll be saying that for the rest of the damn season. We could have used that earlier in the year. We could have used that earlier in the year. And we could have used that earlier in the year. And then we underachieved here and we underachieved there. Kind of like the Vikings. Kind of like the Vikings season. But hopefully, there's no Achilles tendon type injuries to say the least. Eriksson-Ek injured again in the recent 4-1 victory over the Arizona Coyotes, which was not a very good game. The Wild just kind of pulled away late. Yeah, empty net type of deal there, which also a very familiar conversation with empty nets versus the Nashville Predators. A very unexpected gutsy move there. But regardless, yeah, Eriksson-Ek injured, unfortunately. But the good news is, yeah, he quote-unquote dodged a bullet, according to Michael Russo and Joe Smith. So there you go. Got to give some shout-outs to Joe Smith, too, dang it. You know, yeah. So, yes. Yeah, luckily he dodged a bullet, but he's going to miss a couple games, unfortunately. The upcoming games are Anaheim, St. Louis, Anaheim again, and Los Angeles. All winnable games, generally speaking, but we'll have to wait and see how that all turns out. Looks like the L.A. game will be on TNT, I do believe. Va-va-va-va-va. So that's a nice thing. Cool to have the Wild on TNT again. And the Timberwolves are on TNT against the Los Angeles Clippers. Nice comeback from 22 points down. Check out Timberwolves Explosion tomorrow for that conversation. Wow. TNT, yeah, TNT. I'm just weird and I come up with weird stuff. So obviously there's no TNT basketball on Wednesday, so that's NHL. Minnesota, Los Angeles again. What's up with Crypto.com Arena and Minnesota teams going on national TV? I don't know. It's the only way to get there, right? We have to be the road team going to fabulous LA. It's like so special, right? The Wild 4-1 in our last five. That's great. So let's get to the damn trades. I'm gonna stop babbling now. Obviously, there was a Well, should I get into it? Yeah. Yeah, just get into it now. Hell with it. Going back to, and I'm gonna keep some of these other ones very brief if I can. March 1st, Curtis McDermott from the Avalanche. Let's see, yeah, that was the Devils. So, okay, I'll just kind of keep moving. Anthony Mantha. So, the Golden Knights doing a little bit of that cap stuff again, if you know what I mean, by having guys out for significant periods of time. So, working the cap a bit and acquiring some pretty interesting players during the trade deadline. Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals, second-round pick, and a fourth-round pick. Second-round pick in 2024, fourth in 2026. Florida Panthers get Tarasenko, who's becoming a bit of a, not really a journeyman, but he's getting traded all over the place. Florida Panthers, who are doing great, from the Ottawa Senators, almost forgot that's where he was. Conditional fourth-round pick in 2024, and an actual third-round pick in 25, okay. Ryan Johansson getting moved around. Colorado Avalanche acquire Sean Walker in a fifth-round pick in 26. Philadelphia, from the Philadelphia Flyers. Yep, so they got him from the Flyers. And then Ryan Johansson's going there with also a conditional first-round pick in 25. Interesting. The big one with Colorado, though, which was a bit surprising. I'm like, really? The Colorado Avalanche, this was March 6th now, acquire Casey Mittelstadt. That's right, the guy who's emerged the past couple years after a kind of a slow start after leaving the Gophers, I thought, too early. Yeah, the guy from Eden Prairie, remember that guy? Casey Mittelstadt from the Buffalo Sabres for defenseman Bowen Byram. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Buffalo Sabres and Avalanche, another big one there. Winneberg going to the Islanders from the Seattle Kraken for second-round pick in 24 and a conditional fourth. Golden Knights, Hennepin from the Flames, yep. This is a bit going on here. It's a busy one. I'll try to make it brief. Hennepin going to the Knights in a three-team trade with the Calgary Flames. It doesn't happen as much in hockey. It happens in basketball a lot more. Basketball is the one with like three- and four-team trades. So Calgary receives a first-round pick in 25. Defenseman Daniil Miromanov and a conditional third-round pick in the 2025 NHL Draft. Philadelphia receives a fifth-round pick in the 2024 NHL draft, helping facilitate le trade. You know what I'm talking about. Sorry. March 7th, the Leafs acquire Joel Edmondson from Washington for a third-round pick in 24 and a fifth-round pick in 25. Montreal Canadiens acquire forward Jacob Perrault. So he's coming to the Quebec area. Makes sense. Yep, sorry. Jacob Perrault from the Anaheim Ducks for forward Jan Mysak. Probably mispronounced it, and I apologize. Edmonton Oilers. You know that team that I'm... They're going to win the cup this year, right? Okay, I'm just kidding. Derek's like, not so fast, Joey. I know. Edmonton's playoff history isn't exactly sexy ever since about... they made that great run in 2006. And, of course, have you ever heard of the 80s Oilers, right? But, they haven't been quite as dominant since. Anyhow, Edmonton Oilers acquire Troy Stetcher and a 7th-round pick in 24 in the 24 draft from Arizona for a 4th-round pick in 27. Okay. These are not like the NBA, like 2nd-round pick in 2030, 2nd-round pick in 2035, and 2 2nd-round picks in 2047 and 48. It'll be it'll be the current player's grandchildren, possibly. Okay, anyhow, that's kind of what the NBA does with 2nd-round picks. It's wow. Colorado Avalanche, this is the one, though. Of course, Brandon Duhaime to Minnesota for a 3rd-round pick in the 26th draft. And, of course, yeah, so that's kind of the main conversation. I don't mean to go into all the other trades. I probably shouldn't. Just some of them are interesting, I guess. So, Brandon Duhaime, we're going to hit pause here, if you know what I mean. Brandon Duhaime, obviously, again, a guy a lot of people are kind of sad and upset about it. I'm going to be honest, I love Brandon Duhaime and all that, but at the same time, he wasn't real productive, though. He really wasn't he wasn't as productive as he should have been. That's kind of the conversation with Brandon Duhaime. But man, I remember him so well. With even all the way back to Providence, I just kept up with him and followed him. And it's like, wow, he's from Florida. That's kind of cool. French Canadian, though, for French Canadian family moved to Florida. So yeah, let's make some connections here. Almost all the American players have Canadian roots. They just do, or Russian or something. But unfortunately, again, the production just wasn't really there necessarily. And it's ironic how throughout his career, him being Brandon Duhaime, he was more of a playmaker, so to speak, with Providence and with Iowa. except his last year with Iowa, 6 goals and 3 assists. And his first year, rookie year with the Wild, Ray looked also promising, 6 goals, 11 assists, but 122 penalty minutes, excuse me. But and then ever since then, it's like assists kind of were like rare as bleep. Though he did get 4 this year, which is wow. You know, after getting 1 single assist last year and 9 with 9 goals, and of course, again, oft injured, which was annoying. So far, Mr. Duhame in 3 games with the Colorado Avalanche, 1 assist. I did enjoy keeping up with him as a prospect. I really, really did. And it's like, wow, he's going to be on Minnesota. And then he just stayed. That's the cool part. He stuck around. He was too good to send down. But then at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It's like the step forward, it looked like he was going to take it last year. It really did. He looked very impressive. But then, you know, he was kind of oft injured a bit during the course of the season. And this year he stayed healthy for the most part, but the production just kind of wasn't there. Like, the goals disappeared, the assists, well, 4 assists. Yay, it's better than last year. But, well, that's like saying Ghostbusters 2 on Nintendo is better than Ghostbusters 1. Like, wow. You know what I mean? Okay, but I'm not making fun of Brandon Duhame. I'm just being a clown, I guess. I'm sorry. I appreciate Brandon Duhame and all that, but at the same time, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. And I know a third-round pick isn't all that great, but I mean, what Jason Zucker? I'm about to get to those guys again. Arizona. What did Arizona get for Jason Zucker? A 6th-round pick. So obviously he's older, but it's not like he's ancient. Still a productive player. I was never a gigantic Zucker fan. I guess in the early days I was, but to me, he's like the equivalent of a corner outfielder in baseball who can hit some home runs, but then the next week, yeah, see, 1 week he'll hit like 3 or 4 home runs, like, wow, and bat like 400. And then the next week he'll go like 1 for 20, and it's like a harmless single or something in the 8th inning when you're losing or whatever. Yay. That's kind of what it felt like with Jason Zucker at times, kind of up and down, you know, just, I don't know. He did provide a little bit of defense as well, but he wasn't, you know, to me, I don't think Zucker lived up to the hype that a lot of people saw him as. Brandon Duhame, I mean, he is what he is. I think given opportunities, there could have been more there. But we'll get to that and opportunities with another player in a moment. But yeah, Duhame, we'll see how it goes. But at the end of the day, on a really, really good team, he probably is mostly a 4th-line player. But he can play 3rd. I think he's talented enough to be on 3rd as well. I'm not trying to sound condescending by saying that. Colorado Avalanche for the 19th trade now. Acquire Yakov Trenin and the rights to unsigned draft choice defenseman Graham Sward. Cool. From the Nashville Predators for Jeremy Hanzel and a 3rd-round pick in 25. Nashville Predators acquire forward Anthony Beauvillier from the Chicago Blackhawks for a 5th-round pick. All right. Colorado Flames busy again. They're acquiring forward Riley Damani, if I'm saying it correctly, from the Stars, Dallas Stars, for forward Matthias Emilio Pettersson. All right, save that fast 3 times. Tampa Bay acquire Anthony Duclair, who recently scored a goal against the Minnesota Wild with the Sharks in a mediocre game, and a 7th-round pick. This is the Tampa Bay Lightning getting Anthony Duclair, good for him, 7th-round pick in 25. From San Jose for defenseman Jack Thompson, who's probably like, ah, really, did you have to do this to me, guys? Come on, man. I'm going to the Sharks now? Yeah. 3rd-round pick in 24. All right. Here's the big one, another huge one that's got Mr. Crosby not real happy. Not real happy. Not happy in the postgame after this trade. Carolina Hurricanes acquire forward Jake Gensel and defenseman Ty Smith from the Pittsburgh Penguins for forward Michael Bunting, forward prospects Vasily Ponomarev and Ville, oh wow, Koivunen. So it's just like Koivu, but you add the Nen as well. Interesting. Ville, Koivunen. Cool. Interesting. It's a Koivu with a little extra. We'll see what that means. Anyhow, they also got the rights for forward Cruz, Lucius, and a conditional 1st-round pick in the 24 draft, and a conditional 5th-round pick in the 2024 draft, and a conditional 3rd-round pick in 2048. Okay, just kidding. Anyhow, I know, it's just... Anyhow, Columbus Blue Jackets acquire goalie Malcolm Sabon. Again, gosh, he's been traded about 20 times from the St. Louis Blues for future considerations, which I would have done for with John Merrill. I would have done that. Like, just, yeah, come on, just do it. Dang it. Yeah, but I suppose, like, we don't want him next year, damn it. I know. Carolina Hurricanes acquire forward Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Washington Capitals for a 3rd-round pick in 25. All right. Yep. Carolina Hurricanes piling them up. Panthers acquire Kyle Aposa, who had been with Buffalo forever, literally forever, from the Buffalo Sabres for defenseman Kelly. Oh, boy. Such it all in a conditional pick. Sorry, I probably butchered that. Obviously, I did. Ducks acquire Ben Myers from the Colorado Avalanche for a fifth-round pick in 24. New York Rangers acquire defenseman Chad Rudel from the Pittsburgh Penguins for a fourth-round pick. New York Rangers acquire Nick Paton from the Minnesota Wild. You ever heard of them? For forward Turner Elson, who's also, again, a minor leaguer, and he's in his 30s. So, actually, Paton's even younger. So, we'll see what happens. Unfortunately for Nick Paton, he is also with the New York Rangers AHL affiliate. So, do you think he's going to play with the Rangers? So, Turner Elston, so far, Elston, not Elston. That's an NBA coach, I do believe. I believe he was an NBA coach at one point. Elston, and no, this is Elson, same name, literally, 30 years old, from British Columbia. One assist in two games, so okay. He's wearing number 20, which lives in infamy with Minnesota these days. But we'll move on from that if we can. There's your Turner Elston update. Aren't you excited? Yep, so it's mostly probably giving Paton an opportunity to, I don't know, play in the Rangers AHL affiliate. I don't know. The guy is talented, though. I like Nick Paton. I don't know what to think. Maybe he was frustrated. Let me tell you about being frustrated, not getting to a certain next level. Let me tell you about that. San Jose Sharks acquire and never give up, right, Nick? Don't give up. San Jose Sharks acquire forward Klim Kostin from Detroit Red Wings for defenseman Redim Semek and a seventh-round pick. Winnipeg Jets acquire Tyler Toffoli, there you go, from the New Jersey Devils, who are probably moving on now. They've fired Lindy Ruff. It's amazing how things can change so quick, isn't it, though? Jeez. That was fast. I mean, what happened, New Jersey? What happened? Seriously. Tyler Toffoli, yep. Yep, to the Jets for a third-round pick in 2024 and a second-rounder in 25. Nashville Predators acquire Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes for a sixth-round pick. Yeah, imagine if the Wild... I don't know. Yeah, and he'd probably get hurt in his second game and, oh, sorry, I'm out. Probably. I know, it's just, I got tired of it, damn it. Is that okay to say? I got tired of it. Next, Boston Bruins acquire Patrick Maroon.
What a maroon.
Yeah, yep, so they got him for it. Patrick Maroon, thank you, Bugs Bunny. Unfortunately, I don't get to use that now. Maybe once in a blue moon. For forward Luke Porosky and a conditional sixth-round pick in 26. So that's an interesting one somewhat. I'm going to, you know, I looked him up before. I'll look him up again. I have the other prospect from the next guy's trade. I'm just being quiet about it for now because I don't want to spoil, or I don't want to, it's not spoiling anything, but I don't want to jump in too early. Luke Porosky, yep, he's pretty young. Yeah, he's very young. That's what I thought. He's a left winger. Undrafted, unfortunately, from, looks like, Iowa. Well, all right. Sounds familiar. So he's like, yay, I'm going home. Cool. Providence Bruins. And he's been very productive. What do you think of that? 22 years of age. One goal, two assists, and two games for the Iowa Wild. And welcome home, Luke. Hey, this might be a nice little cute story someday. And he was actually pretty productive with Providence as well. Like 30 points last year. In 47 games, 17 points this year. Okay, he had 29 last year. Sorry, I exaggerated a little. Brandon Duhaime, anyone? I don't know. He's you know, kind of similar numbers to Brandon Duhaime, I suppose. Kind of, sort of, at these other levels. No college. Spokane Chiefs and WHL and Kamloops Blazers. Undrafted, but okay. I mean, he's pretty productive in the AHL, and he's 22. Okay, so we'll see. Stay tuned, Wild fans, I suppose. So that one is intriguing. Minnesota ties again. Philadelphia Flyers acquire require defenseman Eric Johnson from the Sabres for a fourth-round pick. Boston Bruins acquire Andrew Pick from the Columbus Blue Jackets for Jakub Zboril for a third-round pick in 27. Some of these I'm going to just keep moving. I'm probably dragging this out. I am dragging it out. Familiar names. New Jersey Devils acquire Jake Allen from the Canadiens for a conditional third-round pick in 25. Tampa Bay Lightning acquire Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba is going to the Lightning with a seventh-round pick as well in 2025 from Arizona for just a fifth round pick. They even got a seventh round pick in the package from Arizona. Interesting. All right, Matt, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I probably went on too long with some of these. Yeah, let's talk about the notables here. Tomáš Hertl is going to the, yes, and I know you've already heard this a million times, but Tomáš Hertl is going to the Golden Knights. And a third round pick in 25, a third round pick in 27 from the San Jose Sharks. So that's all. They're getting all of that for forward David Edstrom and a first round pick in 25. Huh, really? So they're getting even like these are getting draft picks as well. Interesting. They must really like David Edstrom. Interesting. All right. Well, they must. Well, they're also giving up a first round. Yeah. Okay. So the Sharks must like David Edstrom is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Anyhow. But yeah, and the Golden Knights did give up the number one pick, like I just said. Connor Dewar. This is the one that got me a little teeny bit. And we're going to talk about Dmitry Ovechkinov. I kept trying to say Ovechkinov. Ovechkinov. I do believe that. Ovechkinov. It's a toughie. That's a tough one. Ovechkinov. Got it. I think I got it. Yes. Awesome. So we got Dmitry Ovechkinov and a fourth round pick from the Toronto Maple Leafs for Connor Dewar. Connor Dewar is on his way out of Minnesota, unfortunately. I'm gonna come right back. San Jose Sharks get Vitek Vanecek from the and a seventh round pick from the Devils for goalie Kaapo Kähkönen. So the Devils now have Kähkönen and Jake Allen. Interesting. And there was some later trade. I'm not sure what's up with that one. With the Devils again, with the Canadiens, but we're gonna stay off of that one for the moment. Connor Dewar, this one got me a little bit. Like I was talking about, he was actually winning faceoffs. He was getting more and more productive, and the more time Connor Dewar seemed to get, the more productive he got. He was a Paul Fenton draft pick, not a, Judd Brackett and Bill Guerin draft pick, but still at the same time, I don't know, I'm a little sad. 2018 third round pick, 92nd overall, Everett Silvertips. Connor Dewar going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll see if the young guy from Russia, apparently he's a really good skater, so we're going to talk about him in a moment. So far, one game with Toronto for Connor Dewar. Very, you know, it's like the numbers aren't great. They really aren't. But with Iowa, he was kind of like a Mr. Do-Everything type of guy. He kind of was. And I really liked what he could do, and it's like, wow, now he's in the NHL, and I think that's awesome. He was kind of like the, in every, you know, situation with Iowa, and you kind of figured he had the talent to possibly even do that up here. Not be as high-end, no, but I thought he was more of a middle six kind of guy, where Brandon DeHaime is a bottom six, maybe even just bottom three. I think Connor could have, you know, elevated to a middle six. I do. So this one gets me a little bit. Obviously plays a valuable position. He's not a big guy. That's the one thing. But, you know, and amazingly, he had 50 penalty minutes in 2022-23. I'm surprised by that a little bit. So, obviously not great. And he was a minus player a lot of times with Minnesota, which isn't always good either. But he wasn't minus by much. And he wasn't really put in the greatest situations. He was arguably, you know, he was one of the best penalty killers on Minnesota, was Connor Dewar. So, this one got me a little tiny bit. Given more opportunities than Connor Dewar would have gotten better and better. Unfortunately, again, the numbers weren't there until kind of late, where some people might have thought the same about Cam Talbot. Like, yeah, now you're playing better because your name is being, you know, thrown around in trade possibility. So, I don't know. I'm going to miss him a little bit, but I guess it is what it is. I mean, Marat Tuznadinov has a good personality. Obviously, that's the other part of this show. You know, this episode's different, and it's funny how the Wild played better, and I'm talking about anything but the games in this episode, at least kind of for now. I'll get into the games a little bit. I'm not going to get hard and heavy. I'm more focused on kind of a lot of this. I probably talked about the other trades too much, but, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see where players are going, and Vegas again, geez, it's funny. We'll see if they go far. We'll see. They might. But it's funny how they're the team that's actually eighth seed right now in the Western Conference. So Minnesota might be chasing Vegas of all teams to make the playoffs. That's kind of goofy and weird. And we are playing them. Well, I'll be talking about them as a preview in next week's episode. So next week's Brave the Wild and all that cute stuff. Dang it, I think I lost the other player, though. Doggone it. I think I did. Yep, I don't see him anymore. Shoot, I have to go get him back. So, well, luckily it's right in front of me here, that Ovchinnikov. I'm never going to get it. Ovchinnikov. Got it. Okay. I can imagine him saying it all fast, like, hey, that's how you say it. Come on, man. So there he is. There's Ovi, or Ov, or whatever. Again, apparently a really nice skater. Fifth round pick, 137th overall in the 2020 draft. Same draft as Marco Rossi and such. So far, 10 points in 20 games for the Toronto Marlies. He has not skated for the Iowa Wild yet in games. I think he's out. That's basically what's going on. So, but at least he's in North America already. So that's the good news. He's not this red-hot prospect that I can tell, but we'll see. In 68 games in 22-23, which is pretty recent, 68 games, yep, and then his contract obviously expired, and he was able to come to North America to the Toronto Marlies. But in 68 games in the KHL, 13 points, 5 goals, 8 assists. So, smaller guy, 5'11", 166, maybe he's bigger than that now. Born in 2002, so obviously very young, only 21 years of age. Yes, 21 years of age. He'll turn 22 in August, late August. We'll see. And he does play centre, so maybe he can be a Connor Dewar replacement. I don't know, in the bottom six. So far, that's what it looks like, but we'll see. And again, a fifth-round pick, that's what he was. So half a point a game in the AHL level, and unfortunately, again, missing time for Toronto's AHL affiliate at the Momento. So that's where things stand right now. But Ovchinnikov is, he's a lottery ticket, basically. He is. And so is the other guy from Iowa, of all places. That one's an interesting one, though. And I'm happy for him. Luke, yep. Luke Toporowski, that's not that hard, from Penderdorf, Iowa, of all places. So, all right, well, he's playing in his home state anyway, and neighboring Minnesota Wild. Maybe he grew up a Wild fan, maybe, or St. Louis Blues, or the Blackhawks. Those are the other possible teams that he could have cheered for, being in Iowa. They're kind of that Midwest type of vibe there. Not just the upper Midwest, but Midwest, if it's St. Louis. So we'll see. That's an interesting little pick. He's off to a cute little start there in the AHL. So we'll see. And I'm not trying to sound like a kindergarten teacher. I'm sorry. It's a cute little start, But it's nice. It's nice. Obviously, it's early. Very briefly, again, Minnesota 5-2 over Arizona. I'm going to try to go quickly. But yeah, 5-2 win. The Wild over Arizona. A couple of empty netters made the score more lopsided. So again, it was a closer game than we thought. In fact, the Wild were trailing in this game. At times, we did score the opening goal. Kirill Kaprizov continues his ridiculously red-hot play. And Jules Erickson continues to play strong as well. I'm really happy what Ek was able to accomplish game in and game out. But now he's going to miss some games. Gosh dang it. Where he dodged a bullet a few weeks before. Very recently dodged what looked like it could have been really bad. But then now it's like hurt. Check against the Boris with Nick Bjugstad, apparently, of all players, with Arizona, who had a hat trick. He's really hurt Minnesota this year, hasn't he? Connor Dewar, there he is. Last game with Minnesota with the empty netter, 10th goal of the season, and final goal with Minnesota, unless we reacquire him somehow in the future someday. 5-2 win for Minnesota. Faber with his fifth goal of the year, also empty net, getting the job done in a not real pretty game. Both of these games weren't pretty, but the Wild got the job done. That's what matters most, making the score more pretty. 2-1, grinded out effort. The Wild really hung in there, and we did get a point. Again, we only missed out on one single point through this week, which is insanely impressive. Brock Faber with his sixth goal of the year, a legitimate one. Well, not legitimate. Yeah, I mean, it's non-empty net, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But then Valerie, boy, they don't get any easier. Nishushkin with his 23rd goal of the season for Colorado to wrap it up. Unfortunately, the Wild able to tie it up midway through the second, and it was just kind of back and forth. There were opportunities, but great goaltending. Philip Gustafson faced 40 shots, 40, and he stopped 38. So you get games like this from Gustafson, you wish he could be more consistent. You can't expect him to be that good every night, but, you know, closer, I guess. It would have been nice. Again, playing against Brandon Duhaime just like that, which is crazy. But that's how it goes sometimes. I guess it's actually goes like that all the time. Like baseball, you might be playing the team in a 3-game series. And basically, you just change dugouts. That's all. That's all. So, Brandon Duhaime, 7 minutes in his debut with Colorado. And that's about all she wrote. He did get a shot on goal, and he won a faceoff. Awesome. Shaw has been with Minnesota the whole time, so that's wonderful. Mason Shaw has stuck with, has been able to stay on the NHL roster, and he should. Kuznetsov obviously on his way. I don't think that means Shaw's gone. Obviously, Dewar's gone. Already been traded. And we'll see what happens to Lucchini and other guys. But with Ek out, I mean, you almost certainly want to get Kuznetsov in his debut, possibly tonight. Now, I think he will skate, but Coach Hines did not. Repeat, did not. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. That should be in the previews. Did not commit that he will be playing tonight. Matt Boldy with the overtime winner and a thriller versus the Nashville Predators. Kirill Kaprizov finding the back of the net again for the 19,000th time this year. No, I'm kidding. He's been on a roll, basically, is what I'm trying to say. He's been majorly on a roll. In fact, he's number two in the NHL in scoring since the All-Star game. So, amazing. Absolutely great. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, now we get to the gambling coach type of deal where this was a tie game. Minnesota hung in there, did such a good job, you know, to hang in there against this red-hot Nashville team. One of our better games of the season, I'd have to say. And then Coach Hines, as you probably already know, took as big a gamble as you can have. And with the season, the situation as dire as it is, where the Wild need wins, flat-out need wins, especially against this team, you pull the goalie in overtime. And most of the players on the team, and I'll admit, I'm not a particular genius on every single rule in the NHL, particularly obscure ones like this. The Wild would have had no points, say, if Nashville got the puck and was able to score an empty net to win an overtime. The Wild would have had no points, so we would have forfeited that single point we would have had, say, if, you know, like an overtime loss. It would have just been a loss. Can you wrap your head around that one? So it was a huge gamble, but Boldy was able to finish 3 minutes and 50 seconds into OT. It was just like, damn it, we have to win this game. And then Matt Boldy, looking like Bobby Smith with number 12 there, was able to finish the goal, was able to score the goal and win the game. 24th goal of the season for Matt Boldy. And the Wild pull off a bit of a miracle there in a lot of ways. And again, in dire straits, so that's why Coach Hines did that. Arizona, again, this is another one with empty netters and such, which made the game not as, not as close as it truly was. A bit of a back and forth, 2-1 game forever. Bukestad did score in the game. Of course he did. Brock Faber did get his 32nd assist in the game as well. He's on pace for nice things. Kirill Kaprizov's on pace for 92 points. 43. Yeah, it was like 40 goals, 50 assists. 41 goals, 50 assists, basically, is what Kaprizov's on pace for. That's 91 points. And was it 73 games, I do believe, is the statistic. Bukestad with his 16th goal of the year. What a nice season for Nick Bukestad. Great season for him. Ryan Hartman, who obviously has been playing a hell of a lot better of late. 17 goals. But, you know, he's a middle six guy. He shouldn't be on the top line. And a strange power play. Freddie Goudreau with Kaprizov and Ryan Hartman, but it kind of is what it is. And again, Julius Erickson went to the tunnel after being checked by Nick Bukestad. So we'll have to wait and see there. Kirill Kaprizov's 33rd goal. Marcus Foligno's 10th, both unassisted. Well, Jake Middleton did get the assist for Kaprizov's empty netter. Foligno got it on his own to wrap the sucker up in the Wild. 3-1 in this past week. And yeah, I know we're back in playoff contention. I know. not overly confident, but I know. So it's nice. It's cool. It's fun. I guess it's fun to watch. Fun to watch just for the whole feel-good vibe. But I know we want that higher draft pick. I do want the higher draft pick. So now we're going to preview the upcoming four games and all that in segment number two. Mike McDonald Award absolutely goes to Kirill Kaprizov. The James Shepard Memorial Popcorn Maker. I don't know. Maybe just poor Eck with the injuries. It's not going to Eck. It's just going to the, maybe Nick Bukestad for kicking our butts this year with a hat trick and now possibly being a part of Kirill Kaprizov, Joel Eriksson-Ek's injury. Don't think it's intentional, of course. No. Nick Bukestad's not that kind of guy. He's just playing out there playing the game and playing a rugged game, and that's how it goes. So maybe just in general looking at that. Otherwise, you know, it's just sad to see Dewar go, I suppose. With that, we'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the games here. Sorry for the babbling a bit in this one. We are back here on Brave the Wild. Segment number two, going to preview the upcoming four games, but two of them are against Anaheim. So that simplifies things, just like last week with two with Arizona, and probably both winnable games as well, I'd have to say. But first, we are going to hear from our sponsor at the Hockey Podcast Network, DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Very briefly, we'll look at some of the lines, the money lines. Islanders and Sabres, two teams that I like because they're kind of an 80s vibe, I guess. Islanders, this is at Buffalo, 112, minus 112, pardon me. Buffalo's minus 108. Panthers and Hurricanes could be a great matchup in the playoffs at some point. Panthers visiting the Hurricanes, plus 105. At Carolina, minus 125. Coyotes and Red Wings. Okay, what the heck. At Detroit, Coyotes are plus 136. Red Wings, minus 162. Bruins heading to Boston. That used to be something. That's an original six matchup. So, yeah, Boston is minus 238. Heavy favorites at Montreal, plus 195. Lightning and Rangers. That could be an epic matchup at some point in the playoffs. We'll see. This is at Tampa, minus 115 for the Rangers, minus 105 for Tampa. Pretty close there. Stars and Devils. Huh. Well, Dallas is minus 180, hosting the Devils, who are plus 150. The Ducks and the Wild. The Wild are minus 278. Were that heavy favorites, huh? Anaheim, plus 225. Interesting. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Vegas heading to Calgary. The Flames are plus 124. Golden Knights minus 148. Sorry, it's stupid. Why do we have to hear police cars every 5 seconds? This is Golden Valley, dang it. Come on. Anyhow, maybe it's not crime related. But it's irritating a little bit. Anaheim Schmucks. The Wild will be hosting the Schmucks. Anyhow, Joel Eriksson-Ek left March 12th game against the Arizona Coyotes with an injury. Thank you for the information, right? According to Michael Russo, but that's hockey for you. It's an injury. What was the injury? I don't know, but it was an injury. And he dodged a bullet, so that's good. You know, it's like he didn't have an ACL or anything crazy like that. Sometimes that's what kind of injuries happen against the boards. Hyperextended knee, I mean, who knows, you know. I hope he's going to be okay, though, definitely. The Wild lost to Anaheim in their first matchup, 3-2, interestingly enough, January 27th, because we've been sucking. this is the middle game, and then because it's a Western Conference, but non-division matchup, the next game will be in Anaheim, Tuesday, March 19th. Of course, yeah, that's coming up right here. What am I talking about? The Schmucks are 1-4 in their last five, only beating Ottawa 2-1. Otherwise, they have been, outside of a 2-1 loss to Vancouver, they've been getting waxed in the last three games. 6-2 loss to Dallas. 6-1 to New York Islanders. 7-2 to the Blackhawks? 7-2 loss to the Chicago Blackhawks? Are you serious? Did you show up? What the bloody hell? Anyhow, Anaheim is 30th in goals. The Wild are 15th. Anaheim is 31st in goals against. The Wild are 22nd. So they're literally one of the worst teams on the planet. Just, you know, whatever. I want the draft pick, but at the same time, there's always that urge, like, just win the game, you know, that kind of thing. Power play, the Ducks are 21st, the Wild are 15th. Penalty kill, we both suck. 29th for Anaheim, 28th for Minnesota. Anaheim gets more penalty minutes than the Wild by a wide margin. They're the worst in the league. 931 to the Wild, 764, who are 29th, the Wild, that is. Wow, they're way worse than us. And I thought we were, like, stupidly ridiculous when it came to penalty minutes. That's funny. Johnny G, John Gibson, 3.31 goals against average. Again, it's, a lot of it depends on who's playing in front of you, but it's not like he's dynamite either, like, you know, necessarily. Whew, no shutouts on the year. Save percentage of 89. Frank Vetrano with 50 points on the year. That's not bad. 29 goals, so he's been good, to be fair. Troy Terry. Wasn't he traded? I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. Mason McTavish, 40 points on the season. So we're going to have to wait and see how this thing turns out at the end of the day. But I do think the Wild will beat the Ducks. I just do. I think the Wild beat the Anaheim Ducks. Final score 4-2. Most likely guy to score, Matt Boldy, will get his 25th goal against the Clucks. The Clucky Clucky Duckies. So St. Louis Blues again. Oh, God. Ugh. And it's in St. Louis. What does that tell you? Yeah, I know. It does. I don't think I looked at the Ducks' injuries. My apologies. I'm going to go super quick here. Ducks, yeah. Max Jones did not play on March 12th. Leo Carlson did not play on March 12th. Okay. Injured reserve for Brock McGinn. All right. So this guy's just kind of with minor injuries, and then Brock McGinn injured reserve, which was obviously much more significant. St. Louis, no injuries. Respect there to St. Louis. Stay healthy, I guess, even though I don't want you to beat us, but maybe I do. It's been a split so far, both 3-1. Minnesota 3-1 on November 28th. That was, actually Hines' first game with Minnesota. A nice, solid win, and then a 3-1 loss on March the 1st, which is kind of funny. The Wild head to St. Louis March the 16th at 7 p.m. on Saturday night, and then next Saturday, again, hosting St. Louis at the X. The Blues had lost three in a row, 4-2, 4-1, and 4-0 to all the news, New York Islanders, New York Jersey, and New York Rangers. And then they beat Boston in Boston 5-1. Wow. And, it's a rematch of the Cup Final, right? They beat Los Angeles 3-1 recently on March 13th. Good for you, St. Louis. 25th in goals, 14th in goals against, 25th in the power play, 18th penalty kill, number 2 in the league at staying out of the box. Wow, that's actually really good. Yep, that's very good. That can help you in the postseason, I suppose, if St. Louis gets there. Jordan Binnington, who's like a Conn Smythe winner every time he plays against Minnesota, or Venezia Trophy, or whatever you want to say. He does have 3 shutouts on the year. But pretty much every time he plays against the Wild, he's the best goalie in the world. And against everyone else, he's okay. Goals against average, 282, if I didn't say that. 91.3, he is actually having a pretty good season, kind of. 3 shutouts on the year. Robert Thomas is leading that club in scoring overall with 70 points. And Buchnevich as well with, I can't see, what am I doing? 24 goals, which leads the club. 24 goals, 25 assists for 49 points. Robert Thomas is 70 points, 49 assists. Torrey Krug, the former Boston Bruin, 3 goals, 30 assists. And Jordan Kyrou, 20 goals, 28 assists. Brandon Saad, actually not bad, 20 goals on the year. Wow, 32 points. Brandon Saad. But I think the Wild lose to the St. Louis Blues. They lose to the Blues. Maybe we'll squeak out a point, but I think it's a 3-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues. Maybe 3-1 again, which would be funny. But that could be. That seems to be a Blues and Wild type of thing, a 3-1 kind of game. The most likely guy to score for Minnesota is going to be, So I'm going to say Merritt Husnadinov. He may play tonight versus Anaheim. He might score tonight, but I think he will score for sure. Well, not for sure, but I'm just predicting he scores against the St. Louis Blues, but unfortunately we don't win the game. That seems like a Husnadinov kind of game, toughness. The Wild will play the Ducks again. This is, a few days later, right? We play the Schmucks again. I'm sorry, I just want to look at this. This would be the 19th. So you go from the 14th to the 19th of March. This is Tuesday. This one's in Anaheim. I think the Wild win this one as well. I think the Wild win this one as well. I think we sweep the Ducks in terms of, not for the season, unfortunately, but I think we win the season series now, going from 1-0 Anaheim to 2-1 Minnesota to wrap it up. A final score, something along the likes of, 3-2. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game for some reason. Maybe it should be. The Wild should get a ton of points, but I don't know. You never know with Minnesota. Maybe we'll get an empty netter or two to make it 4-2, 5-2, something like that. Kirill Kaprizov, multiple goals. Multiple goals versus the Ducks. Los Angeles Kings in Los Angeles. Crypto.com Arena. Start trading those cryptocurrencies, right? Victor Arvidsson, injured reserve as of Feb 20. Carl Grundstrom, injured reserve as of Feb 13th. Phoenix Cupley, ACL, unfortunately, back on December 15th. I'm sorry, Phoenix Cupley. I'm sorry to hear that. So, that sucks. 19th in goals, 3rd in goals against. 3rd in goals against. Good job, Talbot. 16th on the power play. Number 1 penalty kill in the National Hockey League. Los Angeles Kings. 9th in penalty minutes, too. They stay out of the box for the most part. They kicked the Wild's butt way back on October 19th, 7-3. Yuck. This is the second game of the season. This one's in L.A., and the next game will be in L.A., Monday, April the 15th. The Kings are 2-3 in their last five. They've not been playing all that great. Losing to Vancouver 2-1. Beating Ottawa 4-3. Losing to Dallas 4-1. Shutting out the Islanders 3-0. And then losing 3-1 at San Luis. So, the Los Angeles Kings and the Wild. I don't think the Wild beat the Kings. I just don't. Cam Talbot, 2.49 goals against average, save percentage of 91.6, and 2 shutouts on the year. David Rittich, the former Calgary Flame, also 2 shutouts on the season. Phoenix Copley with the ACL also had a shutout earlier in the season. So, David Rittich, wow, 2.19. He was so mediocre with the freaking Flames, but he's been unbelievable with the Kings so far, just like Talbot as well. 4 shutouts between the two guys. Save percentages both hovering around 92. Kevin Fiala. Sounds familiar. Leading the Los Angeles Kings in scoring. 21 goals, 36 assists. Like, not insane numbers, but good. 57 points. Sounds about right. You know, he sounds like a 70 to 80 point type of guy most of the time. And he stayed healthy, too. Pierre-Luc Dubois with 14 goals, 14 assists in 65 games. That would be 28 points. Quinton Byfield kind of breaking through a bit this season. Good for him. Was he the number 2 pick in the whole draft a few years back? 47 total points now in 63 games. Good for you. Kopitar, the wily legend of the LA Kings, the future Hall of Famer, I think, right? He'd have to be. 18 goals, 35 assists in the season for him. Kopitar has to be, right? What am I looking at here? Yeah, almost 1,200 points. I mean, Yeah. I've said yeah about 50 times. But I think the Kings will beat the Wild 5-2. It's not going to be that bad. But they'll beat the Wild 4-2, 3-1, something along the likes of that. Probably like 3-1. And the only goal scorer is going to be Brock Faber against his former club. And I do think Fiala scores against Minnesota, unfortunately. And the Los Angeles Kings beat the Wild 3-1. So we're looking at a 500 week. Which is not necessarily we're going to make the playoffs because I don't know. I mean, if you're going to make the playoffs, prove it to me. I don't see it happening. So it's still a prove it type of thing as far as I'm concerned. Let's take a look at the wild card really fast here. Yeah, Vegas is the 8th seed. Minnesota is 6 points behind. I don't know. Vegas, man, they're like, what are they, number 2 in their division to win the Stanley Cup, yet they're the last place team in the West. That's funny. But when you consider who they acquired, that's kind of why. And the fact they are the defending champ. So is Florida the overall favorite to win the Stanley Cup right now? Where's Boston? Oh, wow, yeah, they're below them, yep. Only 3 points. Florida's the favorite. I mean, I suppose they got there last year, so maybe this is their year. For Florida's sake, their fan base has been so loyal and all that, and have been through, you know, a lot of ups and downs, mostly downs, unfortunately. I hope they do win it, frankly. That'd be great. I'd be very happy for Florida if they got their first cup. Must have been an amazing run last year, and then it ended so harshly, unfortunately, for them. With that, though, yeah, the Wild go 500 this week. Now we're going to dip more into the prospects. This kind of felt like a prospect type of episode already, didn't it? So apologize if it kind of was too much of the trades and such, but what the heck, you know, might as well get into some of those interesting moves to look at some of these teams out there. Merit Huzdinov, we will be talking about Huzdinov number 22 of Minnesota next week's show for sure. So, sorry, getting a little coffee here. Kaden Benkirs had a decent week for Iowa, definitely. Oh, yeah. Yes, he has. Finally, like a multi-point game and such. Didn't he have a three-point game? So, 9 goals, 7 assists, 16 total points. But Iowa's not doing all that great. But nice to see Benkir picking it up a bit. Patana obviously is gone. Sam Walker is officially the leading scorer on the Iowa Wild now because Patan's gone. Technically, Patan is still the leading scorer, though, so Walker needs to catch up by 7 points. Beckman's up with Minnesota, and yes, he does deserve more ice time than he's been getting. He does have an assist, though, for Minnesota. He did have one this past week. Damon Hunt stuck at 18 points, unfortunately, with Johansson leading the Iowa Wild in scoring for a defenseman overall, but Johansson has the most goals for a defenseman. Ben Gears right behind as a center, though, not a defenseman. But he's picking up the pace a bit, playing a bit better. Good for him. Ryan O'Rourke still a minus 29. Ooh, minus 29. I don't know, man. Wallstead, Jesper Wallstead, or Jesper Wallstedt, however we can say it. 2.79 goals against average. It's trickling down, which is good. Save percentage is almost back up to 91. So good. Good to see Jesper Wallstedt, getting past all that frustration with that. I don't know, getting hammered by the Dallas Stars with terrible play in front of him, and then coming back down to Iowa and looked a bit rattled. But after that NHL debut, but since then, has been okay, has definitely been respectable. Sorry to say the least, I'm tired of that nonsense. Kyle Mostas, he's a defenseman, obviously, in the ECHL with 15 points. Good for him. So, absolutely good for Kyle Mostas, at least being productive with Iowa. The Iowa Heartlanders, the other Iowa, hitting some homers, you can say. I'd like to see him back up with Minnesota at some point coming up. Iowa Wild, the other Iowa. Too much Iowas and too much Wild. It's annoying. It is. I've complained about that on every other show or so because it's weird. Pavel Novak was actually moved up to the Iowa Wild. In 12 games, he's got 2 goals and 1 assist for Iowa. He's moved from the Heartlanders to Iowa, so that's going from AA to AAA. Good job, Pavel. Good performance in the ECHL, who, they've been respectable. The Heartlanders have been respectable. They're at least halfway decent, where the Iowa Wild have not really. They've had pretty lousy season, pretty much last place most of the year, unfortunately, which is, annoying. Danila Yurov, of course, again, now we're waiting basically to see how things go for him. 6 playoff games, he's got a goal and 1 assist, so at least they're still kicking. He's got 2 points in 6 games, though, in the postseason, so does Danila Yurov, unfortunately. So, yeah, I wish there was more going on there. Swedish Hockey League for Liam Ugrin, 19 points in 26 games, 12 goals now. Good for you. Good for you, Liam. So that's nice to see. Swedish Hockey League for Karlstad, looks like. 12 goals, 7 assists for him, and he's a plus 12 on the season. Good. Good, Liam. Keep it up, Liam Ogren. Gregor Lorenz with the Denver Pioneers. Of course, yeah, we're in conference tournaments now, right? So, conference tournaments, and then we can start talking about the NCAA tournament for college hockey. Love it. Gregor Lorenz, 24 points on the year, 12 goals, 12 assists in 36 games. Huge step forward this year. Still not great, but a huge step forward. Ryan Heatley, gigantic step forward. Did miss time this year, 27 games for Harvard. I don't think they're in any NCAA tournament conversation, unfortunately. Only 19 years of age. He's a defenseman for Harvard of all teams. 9 goals, 12 assists. So, nice strong season. Unfortunately, a minus 23, though. So, that sucks. But, can't imagine. They just weren't real good this year. Let's just be honest about that. Petrovsky out of Slovakia. He's a center with 48 points in 52 games. Again, kind of about the same pace as last year. More assists than goals, I guess you could say, and he's a minus 15. So, I don't know, kind of like a step back, actually. Spacek, 8 points on the season, 2 goals, 6 assists for Iowa. The Iowa Wild. And the Iowa Heartlanders, he had 2 goals in 3 games. It was right back up with the Iowa Wild. Again, Iowa Wild. Yeah, it's annoying. Jimmy Clark with Minnesota, the Gophers, of course, in the tournament. 10 points on the regular season, 4 goals, 6 assists in 36 games. Kalen Palkka, defenseman for Moose Jaw in 58 games, 6 goals, 31 assists, and he's a plus 21 on the season. Pretty strong play by the 19-year-old defenseman. Aaron Pionk with Duluth, 20 points. Again, an older, I say this every week just as a reminder, I don't know if I want to even call him a freshman, but I guess so. 21 years of age from Hermantown, who lost in the final game this year, but Edina did win for double A. Edina did win the championship over Chanhassen, as we like to call it. 3 goals, 17 assists for UMD, and unfortunately they are not going to the tournament. Riley Height continues to rise to new heights. Yes, I know. 75 assists on the year, career high. 34 goals, career high. 109 points, career high in the WHL. Hopefully this can translate to the AHL and the NHL respectively. He's a plus 29 on the season. Riley Height, incredible numbers for the Anakin Skywalker lookalike. Somewhat, I'm just kidding. But an amazing run. Good job, Riley Height. Hopefully, again, you want to see this translate. It's nice to see somebody kicking the junior's ass. Now let's see him continue this at the next level. That would be absolutely phenomenal. He is 19. It shows that he's 18, but he's 19. Well, no, he's turning 19 in a couple weeks. Well, week and a half, actually. So that's why. I'm losing my mind. Riley Height's only about to turn 19, and he's already playing that good. Amazing. Kumpalainen, yep, well, 50 points on the year for the next Mikko Koivu, I guess. I don't know. He's hoping so, I'm sure. 53rd overall pick. 26 goals, 24 assists for 50 total points in 54 games. And he's a plus 9 on the year in the OHL. Again, in North America. Charlie Strommel is very much in North America. Again, gosh, less points this year than last. Ah, geez, 25% less. You go from 12 to 8 points in the same amount of games. Oh, Charlie. Yeah, I know. Hopefully he steps up. I say this, I know, I bitch and moan every week, but hopefully next week, next year is better for him. But who knows, maybe he'll be a tournament hero. You just never know. As long as it's not against us, as long as the Gophers go all the way, I'd be very happy. Looks like the Gophers are hitting stride right now. We'll see, though. I mean, last year's Gopher team, it's hard to top what the Gophers had, and that's an opportunity that just, I don't know, I wish we could have back. I really do wish we could have that back, and it aches. With that said, we're going to take a quick break, come back for some fan interaction right after this. We are back here on Brave Le Wild. Time for some fan interaction at Brave the Wild, at Brave the Wild. And on Instagram, it's Brave the Wild_MN. So at Brave the Wild here, let's get going. I think I said something goofy in there, but we'll get back to that. Ooh, I like this. So Derek Felska Lightning Round is going to start off pretty quick here, which I'm totally happy with. I just want to check and make sure nothing's missing. Yeah, should be all okay. I don't think there's too many questions, but Derek Felska, lightning round. Yep, always, yep, so reliable. I really appreciate you, Derek. If you knew how much. But the Derek Felska lightning round hath returned. And, of course, Derek Felska is the host of Crease Podcast, host and creator of the Crease and Assist Podcast, obviously on all the favorite podcasting apps and everything. With Teresa Ferries and Kalisha Townsville, who's been busy of late. But yeah, man, it's so good. So good. Just as long as you don't abandon me, listen to both of us. I mean, listen to both of us. Don't abandon me, then don't abandon Derek either for me. So listen to both of our shows, doggone it. Anyhow, I like this. Which Golden Axe character would you compare the Minnesota Wild's power play lately? Well, because yes, I did just release. So I guess it's like a chance to say this, I guess. I did just release Golden Axe, Video Game Flashback is a retro video game podcast. I did release episode number 30. I released number 30 now. That's a milestone somewhat. Golden Axe on the Sega Genesis, the original Golden Axe for the Sega Genesis, and I talked a little bit about the arcade version as well. But do check that out. Video Game Flashback, retro video game podcast. You get to hear all the cool music and everything. I like to add that flair to the show where you get to hear the music. It really puts you in the mood. So, yeah, I mean, what a fun game, by the way. Which Golden Axe character would you compare the Minnesota Wild's power play lately? Deathbringer. No, but not. Well, maybe. Jeez. Where it's like every time we score, here's another one. Because maybe it is Deathbringer. He's like the final boss in the game. Say Death Adder's the final boss in the arcade game. But in the Sega Genesis, the home console, they figure, oh, let's add an extra level. Where you instead of you're at the throne room with the king and princess who you just rescued after defeating Death Adder, who's a giant, you know, he's basically a Nephilim giant. That's basically what Death Adder is. Like, look at him. He's a Nephilim giant, okay? Whether you believe it or not, that's what he is. what am I getting to? Okay, so it's a throne room in the Genesis version, or in the arcade version. In the Genesis version, there's a big door where you get the final level, and then it's like, yeah, Death Adder was taking orders from someone even higher. Deathbringer, yeah. So what Deathbringer does, every time he's able to successfully hit you with something, like either like the magic on the ground, you know, kind of, you know, that hits you or whatever, or hits you with an axe, he'll hit you with a double attack. He'll then cast a magic spell as well. So that's kind of what the Wild power play has been lately. Like, we score once and then we score again. So I will say Deathbringer for that very reason. It's like a double attack. At least that's what it's been the past, the past week, 2 weeks or so. It's been pretty good. So Deathbringer, good question. That was fun. Deathbringer for that reason. Here we go. Continue. Anthony, this is Derek Felska again. So, yeah, it's Derek Felska until I say it's a different person. LaPantha said the Wild were smart to re-sign number 36. That'd be hard. Zuccarello, Hartman, and Foligno. Yep. Saying that if we didn't sign them, we'd be looking for those same kinds of players later. Meanwhile, prospects continue to pile up in the queue. Yep. Is LaPantha onto something or is he on something? I say mostly on something. Yeah, because, I mean, there's too much of a, oh, my God. You know, it's just like Kirk Cousins. Like, am I crying right now that Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons? No. Sometimes you have to move on. What did the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins? They won a single playoff game. One. They advanced once in 6 years, and they gave him $200 million practically, right? I think it was over $185 million. I know it's more than just Kirk Cousins, but, you know, he's the guy. And he choked a lot. A lot. Yes, we had some cute comebacks against terrible teams. We beat the Colts. We beat the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, they were the worst team in the league, by the way. With the chokiest quarterback of all time on the Colts. You know, guilty of the biggest choke of all time in the Super Bowl and all that. So, I don't know. So, and again, back to these guys. Zuccarello, Hartman, and Foligno. Not so much Zuccarello as Hartman, Foligno, and what was the other one? Goudreau, guys like that. What the blankety blank have they ever done? We have zero playoff success with these guys. Yeah, we've won playoff games, but in hockey, it's a series. In football, it's one big, you know, one and done kind of game because of the type of sport it is. You know, you can't play a series of football games. That's impossible. You just can't. They haven't done a damn thing. So it's like, if you move on, you move on. It's not the end of the world. Like, oh my God, we might not be spectacular. Well, we might not be mediocre. We might be a little bit less than mediocre for maybe part of the season because, you know, Joe Q, young guy, is learning the game, is learning the ropes, that type of thing. You don't think Kuznetsov is going to have a better career than, say, a Ryan Hartman? I would hope he is. I would hope he is. And Hartman has been playing well, with all due respect. But, and you know, obviously the penalties have been a huge problem. Foligno, Foligno's what he is too. He makes a lot of those type of he adds drama at times that's unnecessary. That type of thing. Both Hartman and Foligno. Sometimes Hartman's like a little Matt Cook out there. Not little, just younger Matt Cook out there. Sometimes Foligno's a Matt Cook. Or Donald Brashear, or whatever the heck you want to compare him to. Maybe not Donald Brashear. that guy was mostly just an enforcer. I don't know. I think it's okay. I seriously think it's okay if the Wild were to have moved on instead of being smart to re-sign these guys. Zuccarello, I don't know what to say. I think he's like the most okay of them, but at the same time, that Nookie Blanky nonsense it was with Kaprizov. Once they finally got off the Nookie Blanky, look what's happening with Kaprizov. He's way better. Funny. So sometimes the Nookie Blanky's overrated. So great, great, great question, Derek. The response from Morty is meh. I can kind of see it, but Foligno's contract is too long. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So Marty's like, I can kind of see it. Yeah. I understand if you can kind of see it. Yeah. But yeah, the Foligno contract's too long. See, Zuccarello, at least it's just 2 years. That's probably all they should have been, 2 years. Like, maybe kind of, I don't know. I'm not happy that they've committed so much to them. No. Next. The Minnesota Wild are certainly benefiting from a softer part of their schedule. Even if somehow they scratch and claw their way in, will they be exposed quickly in the playoffs? I think so, yeah. I think so. Morty responds with, best chance in years to move up in the draft board, and they can't even do that right. And then Derek responds, yep. The person tripping and falling and laying there on an escalator. Yep, he says, kind of like this. Boom. Ooh. Out for the season, right? No, I don't know. That one, yeah, he might be going into the tunnel, so at least he dodged a bullet. Okay, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Tom Hand, 12-2-2 finish, and that's only if the Silver Bishops, Crowns, and Stalkers don't improve their play. Moose out front should have told you. Yep, Moose out front should have told you. The Stalker, which team is that one? I don't know, yeah, I probably know, but... I'm crazy, aren't I? I'm crazy. That would be the Oilers? No. Maybe the Jets. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure which one's the Stalkers, but I like the Silver Bishops and the Crowns, yep. Are the Stalkers the Oilers? Or the Jets, maybe. Maybe the Jets or the Stars, probably, yep. That's probably what he means, the Stars. Annoying teams, or the St. Louis Blues, too. We're actually tied with St. Louis, aren't we? Huh! We're tied with St. Louis. Yeah, Stalkers has to be the Stars, right? Yep. So, sorry for my ignorance, and love the nicknames there. That was funny, very much so. Yes, just making sure I didn't miss any. Ah, there it is. And Morty responds with, "Yes, it is continue." Yep, a gun to the shoe there. Yep, shooting themselves in the foot. Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? Yeah, that was the reply there. So now we're gonna keep going. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure everybody got on the show here. That because you know. It's been a little quiet lately, but, you know, Derek, Morty, you know, Jay Bushy right here. Yep, Jay Bushy's been so consistent. Really appreciate you, Jay. You're awesome. And Tom Hayen jumps in replies, which I really appreciate as well. So, Jay Bushy, let me make sure. Yep, Merrill has been in the lineup lately. I'd rather have Mermis play over him. Your thoughts? I agree. Yep, I'd rather have Mermis play over him. Yeah, there's no doubt. Mermis is more solid. He's more, like, reliable, this and that. He's not going to let you down. He's definitely nothing spectacular. But a lot of people are saying that Mermis is probably going to get, you know, there's a pretty good chance he will get a one-way contract next year, even if it's just 1 or 2 years, that he'll be getting an NHL contract next year, maybe with Minnesota, maybe with, you know, someone else. So, you know, like I'm saying, all these teams I imagine, like a St. Louis or something, just for bleeps and giggles, just making up a team name and such. Derek Pelsko responds with continues with TNT's Anson Carter doesn't see Vegas/Tampa's use of LTI, yep, long-term injured reserve, to expensive players only to have them return for the playoffs of Stanley Cup circumvention, a salary cap circumvention, not Stanley Cup. What do you think? Should the league have some injury confirmation before clubs can use that kind of route? Teams can just use that route. I am losing my mind. I think so, yeah. I'm kind of like in the center in a way. No, but yeah, Morty says it needs to be addressed. I'm kind of in the middle, but no, I'm not. I think it's kind of cheating a little bit. There should be some type of confirmation, yes. I think it's, yeah, like Tampa. It's funny how both of them won the Stanley Cup, ironically. There's a Tampa team on the TV screen right now that I wish would win a championship. That's the Tampa Bay Rays. As long as it's not at the Twins' expense, the Twins and Rays, you know, in the minor league game, training camp game, preseason game, replaying from yesterday in the background. Yep, I'd like to see them win a championship. But, yeah, it's... I think it does. Yeah, I think it does need to be addressed. It's like I was kind of in the middle about it, partially because I was happy to see Vegas win, but it's like, you know what? Yeah, it is cheating a bit, isn't it? It's shady. Maybe not flat-out cheating, but it's like shady. It's finding a loophole in the system, unfortunately. And then I made a statement here. Maybe I was like, I was saying if Stuart Skinner, this is Edmonton Oilers, if Stuart Skinner plays like this in the postseason, Edmonton wins the cup. And then Derek says, I'm not sure I would read into that much. Edmonton is playing much better defensively than they did under Woodcroft. But unless they're able to do that against Colorado, I'm not sure Skinner is enough. Yeah. And it's true. Like, Edmonton has... They have to prove it. They have to go out and do it. Like, they just... You know, they simply haven't. I remember they... Calgary was so disappointing when they found a way to lose that series in the Battle of Alberta years ago. But then they got thromped in the next round at Edmonton, if I remember correctly, to... was it the Stars? Did the Stars beat them? I forget what happened exactly years ago. There was a Colorado. I think that's who it was. That's when Colorado won the Stanley Cup. Crushed Edmonton. Just like, it was like, okay, you beat, you got past Calgary, and now, you know, it's now you're going to get your butts handed to you. So that's kind of what happened. Yeah, that definitely wasn't Dallas. Calgary actually beat Dallas in an unbelievable Game 7 that year, a few years back. Man, and Edmonton out again. Yep, that was when Colorado won the Cup in 21, I believe, or 22. So, thank you so much for your interaction, all of you. I really appreciate it. It means the world to me. It really does. Again, Crease and Assist Podcast, massive shout-out. Of course, MNW Young Guns / MNW Prospects, Minnesota Wild Prospects, Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke, you guys are amazing. I love you guys. Again, Pablo Bennett actually made the logo for this show, Brave the Wild. When you look at that logo and just, you know, you think, wow, that's pretty good. I didn't make it. Pablo Bennett did, and he did an amazing job. He's from Chechia. Just thank you so much, Pablo, always. And it's always fun to keep up with the prospects because there's always that hope, you know, that next group of players or player or players that can help bring this franchise to a Stanley Cup someday. That's kind of what's always fascinated me about prospects. That's why I've always been a big fan of talking about prospects on Brave the Wild, pretty much going all the way back to the beginning. And back in those days, boy, were those covers bare. Oh, my. It was real tough. Even in 2012-13, it was like minor league. You know, they're not pros. They're not NHL players. They're pros, but minor pro. With that said, so major shout out to Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish. Love you. You know, really appreciate what you do there. Patrick Turner, Minnesota Wild Nation, coming out of Florida. Again, like I talked about last week, David Kostick, major contributor to Minnesota Wild Global, is my brother's father-in-law. And he took my nephews to Colorado and saw the Wild lose, unfortunately, 2-1. To Brandon DeHaim and the Colorado Avalanche, Nathan MacKinnon too, but they saw a nice gritty game, but unfortunately 2-1, very low scoring, and a loss by Minnesota. But they got to see the beautiful scenery in Colorado. Apparently it had gotten super cold there in certain areas. Obviously it's windy up there in the mountains as well, because they definitely did some sightseeing, not in the city but in the actual mountains, and the pictures are pretty damn cool. With that said, again, that was great. Of course, Chance Kostick. Of course, that's brother-in-law. That would be, David's son, of course. They're both major contributors on Minnesota Wild Global. With that said, I want to thank each and every one of you so much for listening. Please do put a positive 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other app that allows you to rate the show of Brave the Wild. Not the episode, but the actual whole thing, like Brave the Wild. If you could do that, I'd really appreciate that. If you want to write a review, great. If you just want to put the 5-star, really appreciate that as well. With that said, please, keep interacting with the show like you have been. Hashtag BTWMN. It is in the show description. and all of that. Contact me if you want with a, if you want to do like a audio submission, you're more than welcome to do that as well, which is basically you record yourself talking on, you know, your laptop, your smart device, whatever it is, your desktop, and then send me the audio to PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com, PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. You would then lead off the show. You would then lead off the fan interaction segment. So there it is. With that said, have yourself a wonderful week, and we'll see how things go.